Conflict is, well, it's just one of those realities in relationships, right? You can't avoid it. And interestingly, studies from experts like the Gottmans reveal that about 69% of conflicts are actually unresolvable.
Wait, unresolvable?
Exactly. Think about it. Most of these disagreements stem from personality differences. They aren't issues you can just solve and move on from. They're part of who we are. So the goal isn't to fix everything. It's to understand and manage those differences constructively.
That's such a relief to hear, actually. I mean, imagine how exhausting it'd be to think we have to resolve every single argument.
Totally. And the mindset shift from, I need to win this argument, to, how can I understand where this is coming from? That's what makes all the difference. It's not easy, though, is it?
No, it's not. Especially when emotions get involved, like fear or, well, feeling unheard or unimportant. Those underlying triggers can really escalate things, can't they?
They can. And for my work coaching teams, even high-performing groups with incredible communication skills, managing conflict effectively is always a challenge. It's not just about solving the issue, it's about growth. Recognizing where the tension is coming from can shift everything.
Yes, and I think acknowledging those emotional triggers is key. Like when someone lashes out mid-argument, often it's not really because of the issue itself, but because they feel like their deeper needs aren't being met. Maybe it's feeling respected, or secure, or even just loved.
Exactly. It's fascinating, isn't it? These emotional needs are at the heart of so many disputes. And if we can identify them,
we can communicate better, right?
That's the idea. Every disagreement then becomes less about fixing the other person and more about understanding each other. It's all about fostering that connection, even in moments of tension. Building on what we've discussed about understanding emotional needs, let's move into some actionable steps to navigate conflict constructively. James Sexton, who spent years helping couples untangle disagreements, suggests starting with something deceptively simple: pausing. When emotions escalate, taking a moment to breathe can mean the difference between saying something hurtful and actually being heard.
That's so true. I mean, when things get heated, it's so easy to, you know, snap. I've been there. But giving yourself that pause, it's almost like hitting a reset button, isn't it?
Exactly. And paired with that, Sexton emphasizes using I statements. Instead of blaming the other person, you center on your own feelings. So instead of saying, you never listen to me, you could say, I feel unheard when you interrupt. That subtle shift creates space for empathy.
Oh, I love that approach. You know, it reminds me of this argument I had with a close friend last year. We were going around in circles, both of us so stuck on proving we were right. And then I just stopped and said, I feel like we're talking past each other. Can you tell me what you're actually feeling about all this?
Okay, and how did that change the conversation?
It was like flipping a switch. Suddenly, we were talking about what was really going on. Her feeling unappreciated and my feeling overwhelmed. Open-ended questions like that, they're so powerful for breaking down walls, aren't they?
Absolutely. That ties right into what the Gottmans teach about active listening. It's not just hearing the words, it's really engaging with what's beneath them. Reflecting back, asking clarifying questions. It's all about showing you care enough to fully understand.
And I think that's why it builds trust. I mean, when someone knows you're fully present and not just waiting for your turn to speak, that's when the walls really come down.
Totally. These tools, pausing, I statements, active listening, they aren't just techniques. They're ways to stay connected, even when things feel disconnected. So, with all these tools, pausing, I statements, active listening, helping us navigate conflict constructively, there's another crucial piece that often gets overlooked. What happens after the conflict? Offering reassurance is key. It's not just about resolving the argument. It's about reaffirming your commitment to the relationship.
Right, like saying, I value us more than this disagreement.
Exactly. I've seen couples in my coaching sessions transform their conflicts into opportunities for connection just by taking that step. One couple I worked with used to argue all the time about chores. They'd get stuck in this cycle of blaming each other. But when they started closing arguments with something simple like, hey, we're a team, we'll get through this together, it completely shifted their dynamic.
I love that. It takes what could feel like a wedge and turns it into a bridge. But that's not always easy, is it? Especially if emotions are still raw.
No, it's definitely not. And that's where structured problem solving comes in. It gives the conversation a framework. Identify the issue, brainstorm solutions together, evaluate, and then decide as a team. It makes the whole process feel less overwhelming.
It's like having a little roadmap, isn't it? And I think respecting boundaries is such a big part of that. When both people feel safe and their limits are acknowledged, it's so much easier to collaborate.
Absolutely. And whether it's setting boundaries or addressing conflicts directly, these principles apply across the board. Romantic relationships, professional teams, even families.
Oh, families, definitely. I mean, who doesn't have at least one tricky family relationship? I've used these tools myself, especially being mindful about not bringing up past grievances. It's such a temptation sometimes, isn't it?
It really is, but it's also such a slippery slope. By sticking to the issue at hand, you keep the conversation productive instead of combative. And you know, if things still feel stuck, that's where professional help can make all the difference.
Yes, and I'd want to say, seeking counseling isn't a sign of failure. It's like getting a tune-up for your car, you know? It's about making something strong even stronger.
Well said. And from my perspective as a coach, I've watched couples and teams unlock whole new levels of communication with just a few targeted strategies. It's empowering, really.
It is. And remember, growth doesn't come from avoiding conflict. It comes from working through it, listening, learning, and showing up for each other, even when it's messy.
Exactly. Relationships thrive when we embrace that mindset. And with that, I think we've covered a lot today.
We really have. So to everyone listening, thank you for joining us on this journey. Remember, a little bit of conflict can be an opportunity to grow, not just together, but as individuals too.
And on that note, we'll catch you next time. Take care.